Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a sub-pressure jungle chop in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it in a way that feels deep, mobile, and club-ready. This is intermediate level, so we're not just making a big bass sound and calling it a day. We're designing a low end that works with the drums, leaves room for the snare, and still has that jungle tension and forward motion. The vibe we're after is not a giant modern wobble. Think rolling sub, chopped rhythm, a bit of menace, and enough movement in the mids to keep the groove alive. If you get this right, the bass doesn't just sit under the track, it helps drive the whole record. First thing, set your tempo. For this style, somewhere around 170 to 174 BPM is a great zone. If you want it to lean a little more classic jungle, go a touch lower, maybe around 165 to 171. If you want it tighter and more pressure heavy, push it up a little. I'd start at 172 BPM and build from there. Create a few tracks, one for drums or breaks, one for sub bass, one for mid bass, and if you want, one for atmosphere or FX. Keep your first working loop to 4 bars. That's enough space to hear the groove and enough pressure to avoid overcomplicating the idea too early. Now let's build the sub first, because the sub is the foundation. If the sub is weak, everything above it has to work way too hard. For the cleanest result, Ableton's operator is a perfect stock choice. Load operator on the sub track and set oscillator to a sine wave. Turn the other oscillators down or off. Keep the envelope tight and controlled. Zero attack, and then decide whether you want a short, punchy sub or a slightly longer held one. If you want glide between notes, use legato and keep the glide subtle. You're looking for movement, not slop. Here's the key rule for the sub. Keep it mono. No widening, no fancy stereo tricks, no unnecessary processing. The sub should feel centered and solid. Also, don't overdrive it yet. First, make sure it sits properly against the kick. In drum and bass, the low end has to be disciplined before it can be powerful. Now we build the second layer, the mid bass. This is where the character lives. Duplicate the MIDI to a new track and load something like Waveatable, Drift, or Analog. Use a saw or square bass tone, then filter it down so it stays out of the true sub range. You want the mids to add attitude, texture, and rhythm without cluttering the bottom. A good starting chain here is auto filter, saturator, maybe roar or overdrive if you want extra edge, then EQ8, and optionally a compressor or glue compressor to keep things even. A little saturation goes a long way. You're not trying to destroy the tone, just give it some density and presence. This is where the idea of sub pressure really matters. The bass should feel full in the mids, but restrained in the sub. That contrast creates weight. If both layers are equally aggressive down low, the groove gets smaller instead of bigger. So split the roles clearly. The sub owns the bottom, and the mid bass owns the motion. As a practical move, use EQ8 to cut the mid layer below roughly 80 to 120 Hz, depending on the patch. That keeps the low end clean and makes mastering much easier later. If the mid layer gets harsh, gently tame the 2 to 5 kHz range. And if the stereo image starts to spread too much, use utility to keep the bass focused. Bass layers should feel narrow and controlled, especially in the club. Now let's write the actual bass line. Jungle and DNB bass works best when it breathes. You want movement, but you also want gaps. Those gaps are part of the groove. Don't fill every space. Let the break speak. Start with a simple one-bar rhythmic idea. Maybe to hit on beat one, then a gap, then another hit on the end of two, an answer on three, and a short stab near the end of the bar. That call and response feeling is huge in jungle. It keeps the energy moving without turning the bass into a constant wall. For note choices, keep it simple and dark. If you're in F minor, stick with F, ab, C, and eb at first. Maybe throw in a passing tone for tension if the phrase needs it. You do not need a lot of notes to make this work. In fact, one strong anchor note repeated with variation can often feel heavier than a busy line. Now comes the jungle chop part. This is where the rhythm gets character. Shorten some note lengths. Add a little rests. Use note repeats. Make a few hits very short and sharp, almost like bass stabs. Then vary the velocities a little so it doesn't feel machine perfect. You want the part to feel programmed, but still alive. If you render the bass to audio, you can take this even further. Slice it, rearrange it, and treat it almost like a breakbeat. That's a classic jungle workflow. Sound design, resample, slice, rearrange, and then resample again if needed. Sometimes the best bass phrasing comes from working with audio rather than endlessly tweaking synth controls. To keep it evolving, use automation. This is where the pattern starts to feel like a performance instead of a loop. Automate the filter cutoff on the mid layer, maybe the drive on saturator or roar. And if you're using Waveatable, Automate wavetable position too. If you group the bass tracks into a rack, you can map a few macros and control the whole movement from one place. For example, one macro for filter cutoff, one for drive, one for glide time, and one for width control on the mid layer only. A good 8-bar progression might start dark and restrained, then gradually open up. In bars 1 and 2, keep it minimal. Let the sub be clear and the mid layer a little filtered. In bars 3 and 4, open the filter a bit and add a small variation. In bars 5 and 6, increase the intensity with an octave hit or a chromatic passing note. Then in bars 7 and 8, pull some elements back and leave room for the next phrase. Now let's talk about drum interaction, because this is where a lot of bass lines either lock in or fall apart. In this style, the snare is often just as important as the kick for defining the pocket. So don't let long sub notes smear across the snare hit. Leave space around the snare transient. If the kick is heavy on the downbeat, let the bass either come in just after it or duck slightly with sidechain compression. On the bass group, use compressor or glue compressor with sidechain from the kick or the drum bus. Keep the attack fairly quick and the release musical, not too long. You usually don't want an obvious pumping effect unless that's the specific style you're going for. For jungle, cleaner ducking often feels heavier than dramatic pumping. Another important point: use note length as a groove tool. A note can sound huge or tiny depending on how long it rings. So before you reach for more effects, trim the release, shorten the MIDI notes, and listen to how the rhythm changes. Sometimes that small edit makes the bass line instantly feel more professional. Here's a strong arrangement approach for this kind of loop. Start with a simple, clean pressure section. Then gradually introduce more movement and more mid-range saturation. Use one bar every 8 or 16 bars, as a pressure reset where the bass drops back and the next section feels bigger when it returns. That tiny contrast can make the whole drop feel more intentional. If you want to get more advanced, try alternating the behavior of the sub every 2 bars. Maybe the first 2 bars are short and punchy, the next 2 are slightly longer, then a brief octave dip, then a little more space. You can also experiment with call and response between the layers, where the sub hits the main accents and the mid layer answers on offbeats or pickups. That keeps the low end focused while the mids do the talking. A really useful trick is to build one anchor note. That could be the root note or a low stab that keeps coming back. It gives the listener something stable to grab onto while the rest of the pattern moves around it. In jungle, that kind of anchor can make the whole bass line feel more intentional and heavier. Now, because this lesson is also mastering aware, we need to think ahead. You want this low end to be clean from the start. Keep the sub centered, remove unnecessary rumble below around 20 to 30 Hz, and don't let the bass bus clip out of control. Aim for some headroom on the master, roughly around minus 6 dB peak while you're producing. That makes the eventual mastering stage much easier and cleaner. Also, check your bass in mono regularly. This is non-negotiable. If the patch falls apart in mono, fix it now. Wide sub sounds exciting in headphones, but it usually falls apart on systems that matter. The club wants focus, not fancy stereo tricks in the low end. If you want a quick practice exercise, make a 4-bar loop in F minor at 172 BPM. Program a simple drum pattern with kick, snare, and a shuffled break. Build the sub with operator using a sine wave and short glide. Build the mid bass with wavetable using a saw bass tone and low pass filtering. Then write a bass pattern using only F, Ab, C, and Eb. Leave at least a couple of gaps in each bar. Vary the velocity, and automate the filter a little in bar 3 and the drive a little in bar 4. Then bounce the bass group to audio and rechop one phrase. If you can make that loop feel heavy at low volume, you're on the right track. That's a great test. If the bass still feels present when the monitor level comes down, the arrangement and frequency balance are probably working. So the big takeaway is this: a great sub-pressure jungle chop is not about making the biggest bass sound possible. It's about combining a clean mono sub, a character-rich mid-layer, smart chopping, tight drum interaction, and a mastering safe low-end strategy. When those pieces lock together, the groove hits hard without fighting the mix. Use Ableton's stock tools to do it all: operator, wavetable, autofilter, saturator, EQ8, utility, compressor, glue compressor, and simpler. No extra plugins needed, just solid design, good rhythm, and a real sense of space. All right, let's move on and build the patch.